the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, thank you for joining us here on the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry. Across from me on this computer screen, which you cannot see, is the sexiest man from Emerald 2008. Jono, how are you, buddy?
I'm absolutely fantastic, mate. Smiling from ear to ear for some reason.
Now, Bernie can't be with us tonight. Bernie and I are both from New South Wales, so I guess I'm going to have to bear the brunt of why you're in such a good mood. Why are you in a good mood, Jono?
Oh, that was a small matter of the deciding Origin game last night. I don't know if you were able to take it in by chance.
Well, I took in, let me think, about 92% of it. And then the final 10 minutes on my 13th beer, I don't remember. I know that Queensland won, but honestly, I don't even remember it kind of ending. But yes, I did. And congratulations to Queensland.
Oh, mate, what a performance. I couldn't be more proud of the boys. I couldn't be more thrilled. You know, losing Cameron Munster in the lead-up with COVID. You know, Tommy Dearden thrust into the spotlight. And didn't he make that number six jersey his own? You know, I'm just so proud of the team, the way they came through adversity, the way they beat the more fancy team. I think on paper, New South Wales were definitely favourites. I think Queensland were paying $3.50 at one stage to topple the Mighty Blues, and topple them they did.
Now, Ponga had a great game. I thought he played really well, which is not something that we normally see at him at the Knights, but he really shone. And you guys kept us in our half very early on. Obviously, you know, the big talking point, the three players basically clickered in the first 3 minutes. So guys just, you know, hit from dangerous tackles, but obviously they got hurt in some tackles. So three players being sent off in the first 3 minutes was huge. And it was great to see the Biff back. That was awesome. I would have liked to have seen more of it. However, at least they finally threw some punches. I'm so sick of NRL players all running in. And like I say, they should be given like pom-poms and tassels and skirts because it's ridiculous. They just don't do anything. So, yeah. Now, we were leading at halftime, obviously, 12-10. And Paulo, now, I'll set the scene here. As I've mentioned on previous episodes, I am a high school teacher and I teach in Queensland. And because I'm an Eels fan, my year 11 class always give me a lot of shit about the Eels. And one of the boys is like, oh, Junior Paulo's shit. He sucks and blah, blah, blah. And then Paulo knocked that pass on just near our try line. It was like, oh, they better not score from this because I'm never going to hear the end of it. I mean, I certainly heard my share of Paulo shit, Parramatta shit today. But yeah, that wasn't a good one. And there were a few errors which didn't help, that's for sure. You guys had a player sent off. We had a player sent off. That was a bit strange. But just the pressure from Queensland, I think, really keeping us pinned down. You guys were just able to effectively execute your game plan better than we were.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the only player from the Blues that really looked like he wanted to take the game by the balls was James Tedesco. I mean, Teddy was the everywhere man for you guys. You know, Junior Paulo, his first stint was outstanding, and Jacob Saifidi off the bench, he was equally outstanding, but Queensland's field position, Ben Hunt's kicking game, and DCE's kicking game especially, was on a level I haven't even seen it at club level this year from both of them. It was just absolutely brilliant. And then we've got Tommy Dearden leading the kick chase. Tommy Dearden wanted James Tedesco so badly on every kick chase. You know, his hunger and his desire to want to earn his right and earn his moment on the biggest stage was absolutely a sight to behold last night. I'm real proud of the kid.
Yeah, look, and again, congratulations to Queensland. You guys deserved that win. You certainly were more hungry in that sense. Now, one of the things, and obviously we're going to pretty soon be talking about the Eels versus Tigers match, but one of the points I want to make here is, you know, they would cut to Slater and he's standing up and he's on the edge of his seat and, you know, and he's got things to say. And that's just behaviour we don't see from BA, is it? We you don't see him really speak. You don't really see emotion. You don't see that. But you could just tell that Billy Slater was totally invested in that.
I think it's a different level, though. Origin's a different level to a club footy game, you know. A cold Saturday night at Brookvale probably doesn't set the scene as much as a packed Suncorp Stadium with the game on the line. You know, Ben Hunt taking the ball, snatching the ball from midair and racing 90 metres to win the series. You know, that evokes emotion. Brad Arthur's claim to fame is looking like Emperor Palpatine in his hoodie with 17 bottles of Mount Franklin in front of him, you know?
Yeah.
He looks like Skeletor, you know, at the best of times. So it's certainly a different level and a different emotion. I think Origin generates a different emotion than just a week-to-week club football game.
Yeah. Now, Bernie has a bet with you and I have a bet with my other co-host, T-Dog, from the Dummy M podcast. So Bernie and I both have, essentially, on our Facebook profiles, we've photoshopped our heads onto Queensland players and it's got to stay there for a week. And I also lost a bet with one of my Year 11 students, and so I had to wear a Maroons beanie around school all day. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. But, you know, hey, we lost the bets. We got to man up. So, again, congratulations to Queensland. And, yeah, we'll see you there in 2023.
We will, mate. We will.
Okie dokie, so we took on the Tigers and we walked away with a win. So I guess we're meant to be in a good mood about this. Now, I am somewhat, but I'm very sceptical in the sense that I feel that we sort of enter this phase of the year now where we go on a bit of a tear and that's where the hopes get built up, only to be inevitably crushed, you know, in the first round of the finals or second round of the finals, but never the grand final, you know, for God knows how many years. So, yeah, I don't know. I think because I bought into the idea a little bit that maybe this was our year, that it's so much harder to enjoy the victories. However, we'll get into it. Now, you said before that you thought Brad Arthur looked like Emperor Palpatine. I was thinking more ETBA, you know, in his hoodie. That's every time they cut to him. Sitting there, and he obviously looked a little bit cold, but ETBA got the game done for us, so maybe we need more ETBA. What do you think?
Yeah, possibly. Maybe he just needs to wear his hoodie a little bit more often, but I was happy with our performance. You know, I spoke about Queensland resilience just before. Parramatta's resilience was there to be seen. We got two legal tries taken off us in the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes of the game. You know, they ruled that Sean Lane dropped the ball. Mm. He didn't drop the ball. Not for mine. I've seen worse ones given.
Yeah, it was a rough call.
And they ruled that Reid Marnie passed the ball forwards, and I'm yet to see it from an above shot as to where that ball travelled forward. So Parramatta should have been up 12-0 by rights early in that contest. And the Tigers go ahead and flip the script, and they're suddenly up 12-0, and you know, it's a cold night at Leichhardt Oval. The locals are giving it to us. You know, we're down 12-0 when it should be 12-all. And then all of a sudden we click and we score three tries coming up to half time, and all of a sudden we're going to the sheds up 16-12, and we're looking like the Parramatta that we're supposed to look like.
Yeah, even the commentators on that Reid one were like, I do not see a forward pass here. But let's go back to the very start. Tackle one, Macca knocks on straight away. And it was just like, this is going to be a long night. Obviously, Musgrove is on report. And as you said, Sean Lane, he scored. But apparently a knock on. I did think it was rough. And I guess the worst part is Moses was denied the chance to miss his conversion. So, and then Macca knocked on. I was wondering if you picked up on that. Macca knocked on again. I was like, oh, no, dude, what's happening here? And then Penasini's try taken away. But Reed knocks on, Pennacini knocks on, and it was a penalty fest as well. So it was error, penalty. And it was crazy. It was like, I'm blowing the whistle every time a team gets within the 10. I'm just going to blow this whistle. It was incredible the amount of times that guy, his whistle was overtime.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the exact opposite of what we saw last night in State of Origin. You know, yeah. Ashley Klein was tempted to keep the whistle away, and he has for all of the series. You know, I think there was only one or two penalties blown all match. But, yeah, Sunday at Leichhardt, mate, sneeze wrong, look at the touch judge wrong, and you're getting penalised.
Yeah, but even the commentators made the point about us and our inconsistency and called us hot and cold, and that's exactly what we are. So RCG then dropped it, and it literally looked like everyone was taking turns to drop it inside the 20. It, you know, and it's that we were contenders and now we're pretenders. It just happened so quickly with our team. Then Gutho stuffs up, Laurie scores 12-0, you know, and RCG was, he was taking some big hits, but he was running them up. He was doing really well. And, yeah, you know, RCG try, they checked so many angles. Did you see that? That was insane. It was like, are you kidding me? Are you just really looking for an excuse to take this office? It was just, now we're going to cut to the person in the third row who took a phone shot of it. We're going to check their video. It was silly.
Oh, mate, that's the bunker's job. The bunker these days is designed to, you know, check for reasons to not award tries rather than award them. And of all the tries we scored that night, I thought that was the one that was going to get taken off us for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Moses had a great game. I thought he was everywhere. I did feel sorry for the Tigers, Matamua, who essentially 5 minutes into his NRL career, he got sent off. That poor bloke.
The poor bloke. Did you see him at full time, though? Like, the Fox cameras picked him up and his girlfriend's down the end, and he sprinted the length of the field to see his family, and, you know, it's probably the biggest sprint he had all night in him, honest, but good on the kid, you know.
It
wasn't the greatest start, but at least he got back out there and, you know, his family and friends were able to, you know, celebrate his debut with him, which was nice to see.
Yeah, and there was also footage of him on the sideline just before he came back from that 10 minutes, and he was smiling, and so obviously everybody reassured him that, it's all good, buddy. But we had Sivo scored, mate, 12-10, right? And then essentially, Sivo, this is a point Bernie made. He just said, look, he's unstoppable 10 metres out. Everything else is very questionable, but you get him 10 you get him 10 metres out with the ball in his hand. He just runs over guys, doesn't he? And so Sivo did a great run, great kick, Reed scores. So right on half time, 16-12 our way. So, mate, I'm gonna make an observation at this stage of the game is that Moses as captain,
just leading the team around the park.
Moses is that guy who, he's just so competitive and he just wants it, you know. And I actually think, like, Gutho's a great player and everything, but Moses has got that little bit more passion. And I think he would make a better captain in that sense. So, I mean, because let's be honest, I don't think the pairing of Gutho and Paulo as captains this year has been great for us. I don't really see any benefit to that whatsoever. So I don't know. I actually think that mightn't be a bad little approach. Not that they're going to do it.
I don't disagree with you. Actually, someone on Twitter, while the game was on, I think Gutho was going to challenge something, and Mitch was in the rest here, like, asking him to challenge, and this person on Twitter's like, does someone want to tell Mitch Moses that he's not captain? There's captain standing next to him.
Yeah.
But to your point, that's Mitch's competitiveness, and he's got a bit of a temper on him too. Like, he's very competitive and he's very direct and in what he says and what he does. So I'm not against Mitch Moses possibly being captain, but maybe, I guess most team halfbacks are captains of their club as well. I was going to say maybe they don't want to give him the added pressure, but find 90% of the NRL clubs, their captain is a halfback. So maybe it would be good for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't see any benefit to having co-captains this year. In fact, and again, I'm speculating, and I've speculated when I've mentioned it before, but is this possibly they took half the captaincy off Gutho and part of the reason why he's not the same player that he was last year? I don't know. Yeah, you know, who can prove that? I cannot. So but I certainly don't see the benefit of it. But anyway, yeah, and I always remember that time last year, though, when Gutho was thinking about going for two off a penalty and Moses ran over and he's like, no, fuck off, Gutho, we're going for the try. That's what you need, that doggedness. You need that determination. And Moses does have that. And I just think, yeah, because Paulo and Gutho, too laid back.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Mitch Moses is a go-getter, man. You can see by the way he plays as well.
Mm.
You know, when the team's on a roll, he wants the ball and he wants to lead from the front.
Yeah.
You might be onto something. I'd like to see Mitch as captain, especially the way he leads by example.
Mm.
It's an interesting proposition, mate. I'll give you that.
And he also doesn't – I mean, I know I bag him out about his kicking, but he also doesn't back away when it's time to kick – and, you know, he's going in and he's just missed the last two. Man, he's keen. He's up for it. He's ready to do it. He's not backing away from it. So he's got that resilience. So, yeah, I don't know. Imagine that. Imagine if we took him out of the kicking duties, right? Because Gutho can kick. Put Gutho on the kicks and have him as captain. Maybe that's something that might benefit the team. I don't know.
I would say that Mitch Moses is a better kicker in terms of conversions. Gutho, he's not bad, but I think Mitch has him on percentage. But no, it's a very good point you've raised. Mitch Moses as captain has a lot of merit as an idea.
Well, thank you kindly. So not that we're going to make any changes to the team here on the Parramatta's podcast. We have no power and no say, but it's just a theory.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
All right, so we jump into the second half. Moses scores 22-12. And Bailey Simonson had a great game. I've loved having him in the team all year. I've never not been a fan of that guy. I think he always tries. You know, some things don't always work, but that's football, isn't it? So Sivo had another good run. Reed fluffed a try. But, you know, I actually thought Brooks really knocked that out of his hand. That really wasn't on Reed, that one. So... but again, we get straight into the penalties. It was just, I don't know, was it a pre-origin thing that they were just getting them out of their system? Why were there so many penalties?
Oh, mate, maybe it was. I don't know. I think they're just, you know, it's not Parramatta versus Penrith, but it's still a battle of the West, you know.
Mm.
They don't want to seem overly biased towards one team versus another. I don't think we were on the rough end of too many from memory, but we were well and truly the better team by this stage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Gutho did well in cleaning up one of the kicks that came down to the goal line, so that was really good. And obviously Sivo, man, like his foot was like millimetres on that sideline. That was such a great try, but that was a shame. I agree that he did touch the sideline, but it was such a shame to have a try like that taken away.
Oh, mate, I'm just thrilled that edge is coming alive again with him and Wonga.
Mm.
I mean, they set up the Reed Marnie try. You know, Sivo almost had a double himself.
Mm.
That side's starting to come alive again, and Mike Sivo is starting to find his form again slowly. You know, because usually ACLs, they don't, you know, players returning from ACL injuries don't usually hit their straps for probably 18 months afterwards.
Mm.
And, you know, he's not the bullocking Mike Sivo, the one that came in the squad in 2019, but he's getting there, and it's exciting to see not only the combination with Wonga, but as you said, from 10 metres out, he's a wrecking ball. Oh, you know, who's going to stop him?
Yeah. And Kai Rodwell did well to hold Brown up, so it was good to see him get a little bit of game time and successfully as well. So, but the Tigers did score 28-16. That was the final score. So... what do we take away from it? I mean, we showed we can come back against the 15th ranked team, Jono. You know, like, let's not get carried away.
It doesn't sound as impressive when you put it like that. I thought it was a great resilient performance against a team. You know, I guess it's better than losing to the 16th place team by a field goal, but my team would never, right?
Yeah, at home, yes. So, yeah, there were positives to take away from it, but I still think, you know, we have disjointed play, that there are no set plays. There's no sort of real structure to what we're doing. It's just a bunch of players who are quite talented on the field. And, you know, they make the magic happen rather than having an overarching strategy. So I don't know. It's a win. Yes, that's good. But we have been in the cycle of win one, lose one, haven't we? And so that means against the Warriors, which we'll talk about a little bit later, that means we're due for a loss, doesn't it?
Yeah, just in time for Jackie Arthur to be named on the bench. How ironic is that?
Now, let's talk about that. I completely let that slip from my mind. But yes, he is in the team again. Now, is there any logic before I ask the question, what's the logic there? Is there any logic to that? Why would Jake Arthur be back in the team?
I don't know what Tom Opacek did wrong last weekend, but he's been usurped by the coach's son. But more to the point, I don't know what Nathan Brown has done wrong to not be on our bench anymore. Besides, I have a theory. I think Nathan Brown and Brad Arthur have been butting heads secretly.
Yeah. Yep.
As to why Nathan Brown, a player of his caliber, yeah, he's not in career best form, but he was in good stead in his last appearance.
Mm.
For him to not be on the bench and to be replaced by Jake Arthur, who's not going to play, let's be honest, Brad Arthur's been doing the three-man rotation thing for the last couple of weeks, and unless we're up by 40 and Mitch Moses wants a rest, if it's a tight game, Jake Arthur's not going to see game time.
Mm.
So I think we're due for another three-man rotation sort of contest unless we blow on the Warriors out of the park by then. And the Warriors don't travel good. They used all their emotional energy in their homecoming last time out. So I think we're in good stead to run up a good score against them.
Yeah.
And maybe that's Brad's thinking.
Yep.
But, yeah, I have no sound logic as to why Jake is on the bench for us this week.
Yeah, yeah. And the Warriors did, as you said, with their homecoming game, they had a good win in their home grounds there at Bondi in Sydney. But the thing about this is, for us, is that they may not travel well, but we have been hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. So logic dictates that we're going to be cold again. And as you say, they'll start pointing the finger at Jake Arthur, even if he doesn't get game time. Even if he doesn't, they're still going to go, it's all Jake Arthur's fault, you know, because Tom Opacek wasn't there or Nathan Brown wasn't there. But to your point, though, let's talk about there's been a little bit of smoke around why RCG wasn't in the Origin team for games 2 and 3 and whether there's bad blood from his time at Penrith and some of the Penrith players in the team. So it's not like things like that don't happen. And as you say, when you see a player who has the impact and the ability of Nathan Brown and also the leadership ability, like he encourages other people to step up, not being put into the team, you start to sort of think down that sort of conspiratorial line, don't you? Because logic and reason, none of it, like if you're going to tick boxes and go, do you want a good player? Yeah. Is this guy good? Yeah. Is this guy impactful? Yeah. Is he someone who can help us win games? Yeah. Okay. Let's leave him out. Yeah. That doesn't stand to reason, does it?
No, it raises big question marks. Like Nathan Brown and Reg, I don't know why Reg isn't in the Blues squad. There was that rumor that he told the Panthers players in the squad that Parramatta owned them or something. And as an ex-Panther, they didn't take too kindly to it. That seems like bullshit to me. You hear a lot worse in Origin camp than that.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with Origin is you're bringing in players from clubs all over, you know. You can't tell me the Cowboys players in the Queensland team wouldn't be ruining the Broncos. Hey, we're 2-0 over you this year.
Are they going to
drop Jeremiah Nanai for having a little dig at Corey Oates or whatever? No, of course not. Mm. It's banter. It's banter. And to think that can't be the real reason why Regan Campbell-Gillard didn't pull on a sky blue jersey after that, because, you know, he took a lot of brave runs against the Tigers too, knowing that he's the only go-to, you know, prop forward that we had, with Junior being in the Origin squad too. You know, he took a lot of brave runs. He took on the teeth of defence. So, you know, and someone like Nathan Brown can do the exact same thing off the bench in an impact role. And Brad Arthur, you know, for whatever reason, didn't see it in him to name him, and I'm still scratching my head out at this week that here we are again. He's not in the squad and his son is.
Yes, who knows? And head-scratching is the phrase, isn't it, for this team? It's just, that makes no sense. So that's when you start to develop a sort of framework in your mind of, so what's the most illogical thing we could do here? And as you said, you've already picked it. Well, he'll do a three-man rotation. He won't use one of the players because that doesn't make sense. But we are playing the Warriors tonight at CommBank Stadium, so I don't know. We could do it because, like I said, we're either going to win one, lose one, or this is the start of our tear where it just, the football gods go, oh, let's build up some hope in the Para fans and then take it away from them at the last minute, like we always do.
I'm so cruel. And I think the worst part is we've actually got multiple home games coming into the end of the season. We're at home now more than we are away.
Yeah.
So just to build up the hope a bit more, we'll string some wins together on the back of our home crowd. And then when push comes to shove, we'll get found out by the bigger and better teams come finals. And we'll sit here and we'll question why we continue to do this and why we continue to subject ourselves as Parramatta fans. But, you know, we love it all the same, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
They're absolutely our most loved and our most hated team, all rolled into one.
Absolutely. So because we can't find logic in a lot of the coaches' decision in our team, we have come up with a new segment, and that segment is BA Bingo. That's right, BA Bingo. Now, Jono is the man who is going to head up this segment. Jono, tell us, how does BA Bingo work?
Well, we have nine scenarios, nine very Brad Arthur-related scenarios on our board here. And each week, we're going to see how many of these scenarios Brad Arthur can tick off.
Okay. All right. So this is our bingo scorecard, and we are going to share this on Facebook as well. But why don't you talk us through the nine scenarios that happen as a Parramatta fan?
All right. So our nine very familiar scenarios under Brad Arthur's tutelage. Number one, win a game after losing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, put a player on for less than 5 minutes.
Yep.
Number three, keep a player on the bench for the whole game.
Yep.
Number four, my personal favorite, lose to a lower-ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, fail to motivate the team. Number six, leave Sean Lane on for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven is mischaracterize our performance at the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, the rare one this year, is defeat a higher-ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
And the ninth and final scenario, lose a game after winning a game.
Right. So this is the scorecard for BA Bingo. And every week, Jono is going to update us and give Brad a score out of nine. So after the Tigers match, Jono, how does BA rate on the BA Bingo card?
BA against the Tigers has got himself a respectable 2 out of 9.
Okay. So what did he do?
BA managed to tick off number one, win a game after losing a game.
Correct.
And he also ticked off number three, which was keep a player on the bench for the whole game.
Okay, so we're looking for, I think, a respectable 6, maybe 7's probably the highest BA is ever going to get. So 2, okay, he gets started with a nice gentle 2, but we know he can do better and we know he can get higher numbers. And we have faith in BA that he can one day maybe get to an 8. You can't get a 9 because you can't win and lose at the same time, but he could get a solid 8 out of 9, this guy.
Absolutely. If anyone could do it, it's almost like Master Coach Craig Bellamy, but like the opposite. If anyone's going to fill this board out, it's Brad Arthur.
Well, it's a huge thank you for joining us here on the Parramatta's podcast. Don't forget, we've got a Facebook page, The Parramatta's, and you can go and join. And Jono updates the Facebook page quite regularly. We will put the BA Bingo scorecard up as well. And don't forget, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with my mate T-Dog. Our guest this week is Kayla Banny, the former XFC Atom Weight champion. And she talks to us about winning an MMA title, training in Brazil, and fighting. She was a kid. She was like a young girl. She was fighting against adults in Thailand. So, yeah, she's got an interesting story to tell. So make sure you check that out on Apple and Spotify podcasts. And Jono, mate, What do you got planned for the weekend?
Mate, I'm going to watch Parramatta take a dominant victory tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to... It's actually the Food and Wine Festival here in Mackay this weekend. So
yeah, nice.
I'm going to go and be a social little butterfly this weekend for once.
Excellent. Well, you enjoy that, mate. And yes, I will be watching the game tonight as well. So go the Eels. And Bernie will be with us next week. As we always say here on the Parramatta's podcast, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.